we put a survey out on to our entire membership via the web, and it was on pay for performance. And basically, the what we were saying is, A, do you support it? But more importantly, why and or why not do you have these feelings? And that was because our goal is not only to complain or to say negative things or positive things about something, but to offer solutions. And that's where we came up with this position paper, which we just released last week.
Are there unique things that women in government find troubling about pay for performance that may not be a problem for males?
Well, they are concerned about the whole subjectivity of the evaluations and the performance plans and et cetera. And there is that concern that women could be more adversely impacted than men. That hasn't been proven by this survey or actually through the usage of pay for performance, but it is out there. So that's where a lot of our members came up with the suggestion that there needs to be some kind of oversight, whether it's data collection or some kind of reporting that just shows who is actually getting the raises and the bonuses. Not a mandate or anything like that, but just to show who's getting them and who's not, and as kind of a bar there.
So that's your principal recommendation, is to start developing that type of information?
Well, to tell you the truth, the principal recommendation I felt, which was said over and over by a vast majority of the survey responses, was training. Training for the managers to understand the whole system, understand their responsibilities, and then training for the employees on how to actually help develop their performance plan to write up their evaluations at the end of the year. And that came back, as I said, over and over again, was the training aspect of it.
So the training aspect of it is problematic. And do you believe that somehow females are not benefiting as much under pay for performance as your male counterparts might be?
Well, if you look at the statistics for instance, the members of the Senior Executive Service or those in the GS 13 through 15, females are not moving as fast up the career ladder as their male counterparts. And that wasn't covered under this survey, but that is another issue that we've been working on for many years, and that's to try and get more training for women, more mentoring opportunities, so that they can move into these GS 13s and 15 levels, which allow them to move into the SESs, the SES ranks. And we have seen the statistics just are not matching the overall statistics of females in the federal workforce.
We're talking with Janet Copenhaver. She's the Washington representative for federally employed women. And another finding in your recommendation sheets based on the survey, it concerns the pay pool panels, which seem to be always part of the different pay-for-performance systems that are proposed. And what you found is these panels really don't know the people that they're overseeing, whose pay they're overseeing. And so how can that be solved?
Yeah, to tell you the truth, this was, for me, as a non-federal worker per se, this was very surprising that you get your supervisor writes up your evaluation. And I should just point out, too, this is an average. I mean, some agencies do it differently. They do it better. They do it worse. But this is kind of on average. So your supervisor writes it, and then it goes to a pay pool panel of members who don't necessarily know you. So all they have to go on is what is written up and then what your supervisor actually tells them. So one of the things we pointed out is if someone's not a good writer, they just don't, that's not their flair, they may be a technical person, they would not get, or their employees would not get a good performance rating because the write-up wasn't that good.
And so you think there are just some things in the pay-for-performance just process that stigmatize or don't showcase the talents of a few individuals that may not fit the way the test is given, if you will?
Exactly. And we refer back to like the schools, you know, where kids who aren't good test takers. So we've thrown out and we just throw it out as an idea that maybe employees could orally submit it and they could talk it out if, you know, that's how their thought process works instead of having to sit down and write it. And that's just one of the ideas outside the box that we thought, well, let's try it and see what happens, because we all know one size does not fit all. And we want it to be as fair for everybody as possible.
So would it be fair to say overall the position of federally employed women is that it's possible to have a good and fair and open pay-for-performance system? You're not saying go back to just the same raise for everybody.
Right, right. What we're saying is, in theory, a pay-for-performance system does work if it's, you know, totally subjective and everyone gets training and everything's written down and standardized. That was another problem that was brought out, is it's not standardized government-wide. So while some agencies are very good in how they do their performance systems and performance plans, others are woefully inadequate. So that's what we're saying, and we know that something's coming down the pike. I mean, a lot of people have said, well, why are you doing this now? NSPS is dead. Well, yes, NSPS is dead. And we thought, well, what a great opportunity, because one of the biggest criticisms about NSPS is they got no input from federal workers. So we decided, well, let's do the survey now, because we were pretty sure OPM Director John Berry is still going to want to do something. He says GS system is not working. So let's get our solutions, our suggested solutions, and now, before a new plan is introduced and implemented.